show, Bring It In Fridays with me, Gerard, and Coach Thorpe, and Henry Abbott, and Adina Jones, and Judy Goodwin. Guys, look, Henry, get over here.
Look, oh, I can't.
We're all together.
We're all in the same place.
Well, not all.
Well, with the exception of the great Coach Thorpe.
One of us got put in the timeout.
I'm in virtual timeout. You know what you did.
Sharoob got to sponsor that flight. You got to flew him out.
Wait, do you remember that when you were a kid and you got yellow and your mom would be like, you know what you did? And you're like, did I?
But I don't know.
What did I do? All right, guys, we're so happy that we're all together and it is Friday and we're going to talk about, look, the Bucks are champs now. Like, hey, we're here. Milwaukee Bucks. We thought it wouldn't happen. They are champions. Coach, I want to start here because I think this is an interesting point. And I started in the document, doesn't matter how you win a championship.
Yeah.
So following the game, you know, the quotes have gone viral. Giannis said, you know, I could have left and joined a super team, but I stayed. I won it here. This is the harder way. This is better. And Judy, thank you. Play this video right here. This is from Isaiah Thomas, Hall of Famer.
Dead on. And the reason why it was dead on, because what he's experiencing with that fan base and with that community and the memories that he's made with that community by staying there, you don't get that by moving around and joining super teams. The specialness that Olajuwon has in Houston, that I have in Detroit, that Dirk has in Dallas, and now that Giannis has in Milwaukee, those are different kind of places. And I would even say what Jordan has in Chicago, because you go through all of the adversity, you go through all the ups and downs, the heartbreaks with that community for years, and then you rise up and you win together. Like those 75,000 people that were, you know, in Deerfield, you know, cheering on the heartache that they had experienced years before, and watching Giannis struggle, persevere, and then overcome, you know, the whole community feels that. And that's totally different than what you do when you join a super team and you win for the city, you know, and you do it in like a year or two. You know, it's just totally different, you know. And, you know, starting from the bottom, taking your organization and team to the top, the connection that you have with the community and the fans is unlike any other.
And so, Coach, what I think in that moment there, I think Zeke and the Freak, Giannis, are right and wrong in the same sentence. They are right in that the connection that they feel with their fan base is different because they all went through the struggle together, so to speak. But I don't know that LeBron James feels any different about the two Miami titles that he won, right, than Giannis does, right? I don't think he's like, ooh, it was much easier for me to do it this way. Like, a chip is a chip, and it's hard to win those suckers. What do you think?
So let's be clear, okay? For Giannis, as you said, I get it. Yeah, how would he know what it's like to win when you're with another team? Because he's never done that. So he's allowed to think whatever he wants to think. But Brooke Lopez was with the Nets. Middleton was with the Nets. PJ was with the Rockets a year ago. Holiday was with the Pelicans. They didn't bring a super team, quote unquote, because those guys weren't all-stars this year. But they have him, who is beyond incredible, especially the way he played those last, you know, 12 games or so. And they're great. It's a championship like anything else, no better, no worse. I do think the fans were overjoyed, and they would have been just as overjoyed had they brought someone else in and Giannis was gone. They won a title. They won a championship. Great. The rest of the stuff, yeah, it's hard enough to win. Don't worry about how you do it. Just find a way to win.
I feel like we're only talking about super teams since players started playing GM, right? Mm-hmm. When GMs mm-hmm. played GM.
We didn't talk about
like everybody's trying to make a super team. Every title team is a super team. It's just right. A question of like, did Mark Lazary get Drew Holiday?
Right.
Now it's like ethical or something, but if LeBron James gets Drew Holiday, it's unethical. This will be the only thing people remember I say today, and it's going to be stupid that it'll upset people, but I used to live in Southern Wisconsin. Like these 75,000 people who've been Bucks fans forever are Packers fans. Yeah. They didn't go to Vin Baker games. That was a fucking empty arena. Like, spare me the decades of suffering. They didn't. They went to football games and they didn't like the NBA and they would tell me that all the time. Like, now they're Bucks fans. Like, guess what? I was in your arena and you weren't. Right? Like, where did you come from?
I love it. Adina, what you got?
Like, one, and the, we're good on the echo, right? We're straight.
I'm turning that
like, out. I don't know. First time doing it in person. Life is hard. The one thing that Isaiah said that struck me was that, like, struggle is what makes a champion. Like, if I have the opportunity not to struggle in my life, I ain't gonna do it. And bringing back the Black woman perspective, it's like, oh, I gotta be a strong Black woman and I gotta be a strong player and go through 15 years of fucking, you know, struggle and strife to make my championship worth. Like, no. Like, let's win it. And no one else should have to go through the struggle. It's like, who hurt you, Isaiah? Like, just because you went through that doesn't mean that somebody else has to go through it. And then this idea of your legacy and not being endeared by a crowd because you didn't stay. Like, I think LeBron's card is good on Biscayne Boulevard if he goes back. It's good in whatever street is Main Street in Cleveland, right? It's good on Figueroa. Like, he's loved everywhere he goes. And I'll even look at a coach, Pat Riley, like, he had his banner hung in Miami and he didn't even end his career there. So it's like, yeah, this whole idea of struggle makes great players, pressure makes diamonds. Nah, like,
well, listen, we've said this on the show. Jarrod and I talk this a lot, Adina. You need to go through some pain, in my opinion, in the NBA as a player to understand the gravity of every possession. We're going to talk later about Giannis's incredible re-engineering, reinvention of himself. That doesn't happen absent previous heartbreaking disappointment. But the fans have nothing to do with it. Zero, the struggle, bullshit, expansion team wins. They will party like it's 1999. None of that matters. None of that just matters, right?
Facts.
I mean, think of, first of all, these players, it's not just on-court struggles. None of us have had easy lives. Some people have had a much harder life. Jrue Holiday had a great upbringing. I've met his family, amazing people. He didn't have to worry where his next meal was coming from. Not everyone can say that, and not in just this league, in this country and around the world. But what Jrue has gone through with his wife, talk about struggle, So they already have a lot of that anyway. The champagne tastes just as sweet,
sure does.
No matter who is there and what they went through. So
there's a saying that my sister has. It's you got to go through a test to have a testimony. And I believe that for a player, yes, but as a fan, it's like.
Right.
And I think that's the thing, right? Like, each player, right? So even if it's a super team, that team collectively may not have gone through it together, but each one of those guys has gone through it, right? James Harden's been through plenty of personal struggles, right? Just because he's on a new team doesn't mean it's a big deal. So I think, again, it's just fodder for those silly shows that, you know, we hate.
Well, so one little quick thing. If you're Chris Paul right now.
Struggle.
But the story is that he has screwed up. He's not good enough, right? Like, if he had gotten himself to the Lakers with LeBron, nobody would say that about him. So, like, what's the message exactly? You know what I mean?
You're right.
Yeah, you're better off not being up 2-0 in a series. He's getting beaten up for being four different times being up as if he's the problem. At 36, and we'll probably talk about Dame, there's a whole another CP story here, which is Dame Lillard is watching the point guard kind of melt a little bit in the finals. And not, I'm not blaming CP for anything. He's 36, and Jrue Holiday is a fucking beast of a defender, okay? A lot of guys would melt against that cat, including probably Dame, all right? So, and has before against him. So in my mind, these are all lessons to be learned. And Chris Paul is where he is. And Dame realizes it's so hard even to get to that series and be up 2-0 and then find a way to still win. It's so hard to do. I better go find another place to go play. I think that's what Lillard is going to be doing.
Right? I mean, look, Jrue's got 4 inches and 60, 70 pounds on Chris. I mean, like, come on. And listen, again, first for the record, we don't need to be having Chris Paul legacy talk. This is one of the greatest players in the history of basketball. Sans championship or whatever. It does not matter. Look at every advanced stat that matters. Win shares for 48. He's among the top because he's really good at playing winning basketball. He just hasn't been fortunate enough to win a title. And by the way, you need fortune to win championships.
I love when fan bases, and every fan base does this, acts like their struggle is unique to their city because they haven't won a title in 10, 15, 20, 30 years. Join the club. Like, every fan base, except for very, very few, has that same period of time. And maybe for a 3 or 4 year stretch, if they're super lucky, they win a lot of games during that stretch. But then they're back with the rest of the Saps. That's just
how it goes.
You can have one winner.
That's it. So, you know, the Bucks have won and Giannis was incredible.
Yeah.
And we at Troop, we were having some conversations about Giannis early on in this playoff run. And we were like, look, the way he was playing, if he continues to play that way, which is think he is a Kevin Durant type player and shooting threes and jumpers, you're not going to win doing that because that is not your strength. You're really good in the paint and restricted area. There's no answer for you. All of a sudden in the finals, he stopped doing that and just bully balled and killed everybody in the paint. Oh my God, he was the greatest player on planet Earth and they won. But Giannis taught us some things, Coach. What did he teach us in this finals run?
Yeah, it was before the finals, actually. It was after June 10th against the Nets. It was a 2-1 series. That was the rock fight game.
Yep.
There was a few games that might have been called rock fight.
Couple rock fights.
I think this was the one. The Bucks won 86-83. Giannis went 1 of 8 from three. It might have been the last game he took 8 in a game. He took 5 in one of the games in the finals because they were down 20. So even though he shouldn't be doing it, he didn't take 8. It was awful. And that was the last time he did that the rest of the playoffs. And what makes this remarkable is that not that he suddenly started screening more, cutting more, flashing more, loitering around the rim more for offensive rebounds. Think of all the offensive glass rebounds he got in the series because he was always pushing the pace. So that wasn't changed. It's that he made this change during a playoff series. Normally we see, for example, and I was talking to Henry about this yesterday, DeAndre Ayton limited his perimeter game going from last year to this year, first 2 years to this year, and it's so much better. Joel Embiid moved away from, Joel loved his three-point shot. Mm-hmm. He started becoming a dominant interior-focused player and was one of the best 3 or 4 players in the league without question, right? But that was over an offseason of reflection and reference points, right? Giannis did it mid-stride. I've been watching this game 30 years as a professional coach. I've never seen it happen. It never dawned on me that they might change the way they play and he might change the way he played while the playoffs were happening. That doesn't happen that way. And so the humility it takes for someone who's won 2 MVPs, right? And a defensive player of the year to say, you know what? You're right. I can't. And they just beat the Nets. It was 2-1. They were down 1-2 in the series, but to change then, extraordinary. It's literally something I've never seen before. And it's scary for his future opponents because that ability to change that quickly, like some coaches, Ty Lue is that way, by the way.
Yep.
Ty Lue has no pride. Whatever fucking isn't working, next, right? I've never played on Tinder, but I imagine that's what people do. Ty Lue is doing Tinder with coaching. That's what Giannis did.
Wait, come to True Hoop for the basketball analysis. Stay for Coach Thorpe's Tinder commentary.
Obviously, I've never done it, but Ty Lue.
Profile name is Yo Shot.
I think Ty Lue, I think we said this on the show once, like 58 different rotations, yes. Like going into game 3.
He doesn't care. What's going to win? What's going to help me win? I don't care.
Right. Well, now Giannis is doing it. So my point is this. If what he did wasn't working, maybe to try something else, that's a scary thought for someone of that mind, like an entrepreneur, to keep pivoting with his talent, even if he never learns to shoot. We've just never seen anything like it. And I said to Henry, if you go 10 years in the future, or maybe 4 or 5 years in his case, he starts morphing into more like Tim Duncan. Don't tell me he can't play like Tim Duncan. He can.
Sure.
So if he moves from the incredible transition player that he is with the handles and the passing, and as he ages away from the world's best athlete at his size into more of Tim Duncan, that guy can keep winning. That's a scary, that's a top 5 all-time potential player. And we never saw that a month ago.
David, you wrote that he showed a new blueprint for how the best player on a title team doesn't have to be an elite shooter. This was news to us. I'll super own, like, I really thought that with Kawhi in San Antonio and LeBron in Cleveland as models, like, you can be an all-world defender and the best athlete in the NBA and not win until you can hit a jumper and free throws and the kind of, and he really didn't get those skills down, but he, as you explained to us, won anyway. So that was a news. So we had this kind of charming experience where before he played his first NBA game, Giannis went to Summer League and he walked around a buffet with Kevin Arnovitz on Troop TV and they sat down and had, like, Giannis had, like, a really healthy meal, and Kevin had all this fried food. And And Giannis and Kevin said, hey, last time we talked, you were about to take your driving test. Like, how did that go? And he's like, perfect. I did a perfect job. And he's like, well, even like the parallel parking and everything. And he's like, yeah. He's like, I took two lessons. I think there were supposed to be more. And then I was like, I'm ready to go. Like, he's like, Kevin, I'm an excellent student. And he's right. Like, he really is. Like, for all of the, I mean, you know, I've also participated in a project where we, like, for the body issue of ESPN the magazine, like, Giannis has the best NBA body and participated in a photo shoot that I arranged with just like, you know, the man is designed to dominate a basketball.
Yeah.
But that's not the most important thing about him. Like, the most important thing about him is that he's this guy who can listen very carefully to his driving instructor and parallel park like a boss. When he was, what was he, 18? And, you know, speaking, I guess, a third language, is that right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that is the player who could become Tim Duncan or anything, or president or whatever, right?
Like, we could use him. We could use him down the road. His, he's not, I wouldn't call him an early adopter, but Drew and I, talked about this last week, and maybe Henry and I, you did one, and I talked about it once too. For what happened last year in the bubble with the Milwaukee Bucks, I almost want to give them a pass now. Now that we've seen this team recover from 2-0 to 2 deficits in the postseason, they went through the Miami heartbreak in the bubble. I get that. 2 years they lost to Kawhi after a 2-0 lead to a terrific team. I don't think anyone can argue how solid and deep the Raptors were with Nick Nurse as a great Ty Lue type coach. He also has no pride. He's flipping around, let's try zone, and let's press. He does all those things too, right? And Kawhi Leonard is Kawhi Leonard. Last year, they might have won it had it not been all the things that happened in the pandemic and in Kenosha. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were meeting with the state attorney general while the playoffs were happening. Come on. George Hill wanted to leave, if you guys remember.
Yep.
Yes.
So I don't know that didn't delay this a year. I just know the bottom line is, my guess is Bud had been talking to Giannis all along about playing more like this. And I think you just can't force feed those guys. And I give Bud respect. You got to let them figure it out. They mostly don't. In midseason, I've never seen a midseries. The fact that Giannis did is hello to the league. Like, buckle up. That fucker's coming. And you don't know what he's going to look like in a year or two.
And we talked about this, Coach, looking at the future, right? I mean, Giannis is 26, Chris is 29, Drew's 31. That's 4 years of prime because they're all locked up for another 4 years that they could rip off three of the next four titles. Now, we know how the NBA is. None of that's guaranteed, as we just started the show saying, you need some luck, things happen, what have you. But they have the right blueprint, and I've said this before to you and you agree, when your three best players are also your three best defenders,
that is
something that you can't, you know, because most teams, that ain't the case, right? Like, it's just not how it works. And
don't discount. Brook Lopez is probably the best drop defender in the league. If you look at metrics, I think he's rated like number one drop defender, maybe by a lot. And he wasn't amazing this series all the time. He was really good enough times. He caused problems and didn't play in the fourth quarter and didn't care. And then Bobby Portis coming in, I thought was very, very, I don't think they win without hit Bobby Portis.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah,
definitely not. And I think what Milwaukee did this series, guys, they zagged right away from the rest of the league. Everyone in the league wants to do what? Go small, go small, go small. Well, the Bucks don't go small.
No, they went huge.
They go big. But the reason why they can go big is because their 1 7-footer can do literally everything.
That's right.
Right. Like, so that makes them so much more difficult to stop.
Which is what we wrote in our last piece, that's what Ben Simmons and Bam Adebayo and Scottie Barnes and even Kyle Anderson quietly had basically a career year last season.
Really good.
Memphis. Yeah. He's not the athlete those other guys are, but he's athletic enough. He's 7 feet tall and he's a point guard, and he can guard probably 2 through 5. I'm not sure about 1 through 5. I mean, if you're switching everything. Right. Giannis allows you to go jumbo. Portis is athletic and agile, but you can't really get away with him at the 4 and Brook at 5 without Giannis if you want to be jumbo. Yeah, he's, I'm not kidding. He went from being a disappointing postseason player, and there's metrics to show that too, how much worse he got in the postseason.
He was.
To suddenly being, like, why can't this guy be ultimately top five all time? I don't mean just an accomplishment. I mean ability to impact games over a long stretch of time, but also an accomplishment.
Yep.
Now it's hard. It's hard. It's hard. They may not win again, but he's got two MVPs, a defensive player of the year, an NBA championship, an NBA Finals MVP, and he's 26. No one's ever done that before.
That's pretty good.
That's what is really good. Left for him, though?
What's I mean, so now it's about what Coach just said, and this is something that we should definitely do on True Hoop maybe one day this summer, is have the top five discussion, but not in the way that they normally do it, right? Because Coach and I, we talk about this. Top five resume accomplishment is very different than who are the five best basketball players you've ever seen play basketball, right? Those two things aren't always equal. And Giannis can get himself to that point because he's already on it. I mean, if he retires right now, he's a Hall of Famer. Five-time All-NBA, five-time All-Star, two-time I mean, who has those that is not in the Hall of Fame? Nobody. Like, everyone who has that is in the Hall of Fame. Right, so.
I'm looking at the awards. I'm like, what else can he win? Like, it's just, I mean, an Olympic gold medal. Like, and now, for now, who, which team?
Now it's just stacking. It's just stacking
who
now,
would
right?
he play for? He played for Greece.
He played for Greece.
But he could choose. He could choose Nigeria.
He could.
And he could also choose America, right?
He could, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's a big.
Well, no, knowing Giannis, he will choose the hardest path. So whichever's the hardest path, that's what he can do. So Greece, I guess, because Nigeria's got a ton of good.
No, that would be players. Nigeria. Greece is a better team, typically, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He would be Nigeria, which has a lot of good players.
Precious Achiuwa, a couple of the guys.
Yeah, no, that'd be, I'd love to see him play for Nigeria. And Mike Brown's their coach.
That is correct.
Yeah.
All right, so the rest of the league is on notice. The Bucks are here. What, as I said in the show title, what's next? What are the good teams? Because let's be real. Like, you know, Orlando Magic, you ain't winning the NBA Finals next year. Come on.
No, I've got a little list here. So we can talk about each one. First of all, what's going to happen? It starts with what's going to happen with Dame.
Henry, how are you feeling about that? What's going on in Portland?
And Beal. Those are the two guys available right now, probably, plus Simmons. So Dame, Beal, and Simmons are the three. Go ahead, Henry.
With Dame. So I've had a 78% written story for a week on, like, following up on a reporting from last week. The important part of it is basically our sources say, like, Dame would like to keep playing with CJ. And he'd like the Blazers to make magic out of their other trade assets, which is deductively something like Yusuf Nurkic, all of their available picks, Anfernee Simons, and Derek Jones Jr. has an expiring contract that could be valuable. So
you've got a player option. You have to opt in.
Okay. Okay. Sounds right. So I don't know. You know. The other little piece of intel we have is the world is changing a little bit, right? Giannis is on everybody's TV being a very mobile, non-traditional big man and winning. Team USA, where Dame's playing right now, features Bam Adebayo, right? Like, that's the dream kind of player for all of this, right? So if the Blazers are going to try to impress Dame enough that he will be an enthusiastic member of their team next year, that's what they got to do. TBD, if they could trade CJ and have a happy Dame too. I don't know. You trade Dame, right? And he doesn't want to go just anywhere. Would Joel Embiid be the partner of his dreams? Like, maybe, right? Sounds like he's going to be picky. So that's where we are. He's desperate to be. So I think the sort of metaphor here is, the Bucks were excellent and didn't have Jrue Holiday and recognized they were a little short and just went completely all in. When you see Giannis out of oxygen, giving everything he has, you know, at one point late in game six, he flew down the court and didn't block a shot on the break. Remember this? And like, I'm like, but he just gave everything and then just like right back on D, right? He's just, you know, the Bucks kind of metaphorically did that by giving every single asset they have for Jrue Holiday. It was a lopsided trade, but that's what you have to do, right? They are 100% all in, and it was enough, barely. Dame wants to be in an environment like that, right? Are the Blazers one of those teams right now? Like, maybe, you know, maybe.
And I think that point you made, Henry, is correct. The Holiday trade could simultaneously be the best thing that happened to the Bucks and the worst thing that happened to the Bucks, because they have no future draft capital, right? Because of that trade. So they won. So worth it there, but the next, you know, let's say they don't win again, and, you know, guys age out. How am I rebuilding?
There was a Hollinger and Duncan show like a month ago when it looked like the Bucks weren't going to win even the second round series, right, against the Nets. And they're basically like, yeah, what can they do to get better this offseason? And the answer was like, maybe Dante DiVincenzo can be moved for something that would improve the team. Like, that was basically it. Like, they're basically out of trade assets. So, yeah, this is non-ideal long-term planning, as the Clippers did, right? The Clippers ruined their future for their present and didn't win a championship. Like, yeah, I can see why the Blazers might be like, is that really the best idea?
There he is. So here is a path, though. The path would be to play this rotation out next 2 or 3 years, and when they get cap space because Middleton ages out and Drew finishes his contract, you want to come play with a guy that you know can lead you to a title, right? It's Milwaukee. I get that. Actually, having gone to a game in Milwaukee when the atmosphere was, the fans weren't so great, but the atmosphere was great. Like, they definitely love basketball there when they're good. You might be able to attract really talented free agents. I mean, LeBron got some guys to come to Cleveland to go play with Giannis. That's, to me, that's what they're thinking is with this guy, especially now that they've done it, they've got a shot at least to think, okay, when these guys are done, now let's get the next group of people. They've got some work to do. The G League is loaded with talent. They need to develop those guys and make sure they're ready to go down the road. I'm not sure they'll do it, but that, to me, that's what their plan would be. But to Henry's point, Dame's shopping for that. Dame wants, yeah, where can I go? But he's not Giannis.
Well, right. But also, I don't think there has to be a long-term plan. I think that the way player thinking goes, right, is like, you know, Giannis will be, by the time these players aren't good anymore, Giannis will be 29 or whatever, like Dame's 31. They don't have a long-term plan. Like, and this is where I think about when the Warriors were really good, Jackie McMullen wrote a story where she sat down with like all the people who run the team. And she was like, you know, doesn't it worry you that like the owner's son is going to come in and run this team and he's right there. And like, it, you know, and you know, X, Y, and Z things are all, the clock's ticking on all of this. And they were like, no, Jackie, like the best you can possibly get in this league is a few years of everything's good. Like, that's the best. There's nowhere where like the whole next 20 years are good. That's not a thing. You know, like, no, you get a few graceful years and then it all falls apart again. And like, so like Giannis has a couple of those right now, you know, Dame's looking for some.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I get it from Dame's point of view. Management, of course, has to think longer term, bigger picture, but I credit Dame. Like, I'm all for players putting together their own teams. I've never had an issue with it. And I mean, Dame has one weakness. He just doesn't really love to guard for very long. Whereas Giannis plays so relentlessly and is so talented defensively anyway, but Dame also has some other things on his side that are fucking phenomenal. So there's answers to this question of where can Dame go to win a ring? And I happen to think Philly is one of them. I mean, him with Embiid, if they keep Tobias also, like, come on now. That's a hell of a threesome right there. That's a hell of a trio.
I wanted to ask Henry a question. You know, you talked about like you get this couple of free good years. So are you saying rebuilding every year like the Knicks is not a good idea? I just, and it's been 15, 20 years, is not it?
Just keep going.
We got Knicks.
Poor Knicks.
But you said Knicks, not Nets, right?
Yes.
Staying in our backyard, looking at Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I think, look, we know what their three guys can do, right? If those three guys are healthy, we are maybe looking at a different end of season outcome, right? That's what a lot of people think. So help is the big thing with those three. But around the fringes, what can they do? Because Blake, Jeff Green, Spencer Dinwiddie is unrestricted as well. Like, what can they do to bolster around there? Because Blake gave him good minutes, better than I thought. I didn't think Blake would be able to do anything. Blake was considerably better. Jeff Green was very excellent for them all season. What can they do? Because those guys may command more money somewhere else, and it depends on how much Josiah wants to win the luxury tax, which I don't know. I mean, he's already in it. How much more does he want to spend?
Henry and I have talked this over the years. What I would do if I was Brooklyn, and they're I can't argue with what they did this year. They, you know, bad luck happened. Not that you couldn't kind of predict it. We did, actually. But I'd get a bunch of young players and I'd sit down with the big three and Blake, if you keep Blake, because he's they're not to sign him. He did well. You're right, Gerard. And I was there, all right, guys, the number's 45 or number's 50. Pick the number, 45 or 50, 55. That's the max amount of games you all can play. So let's work it out where our goal is to just make the playoffs in the top four seed, right? It, preferably anyway. We're going to play a bunch of young guys to the ground and get them a ton of experience. Those guys can run all day. They don't get tired. And we're going to pick your guys' spots. And here's how we'll match it up with the schedule and your wife's birthday and your kids' birthdays and this, that, whatever. The goal is that everyone is running on four cylinders starting April 18th, whenever the playoffs start next year. That's what I would do if I were them. But not a bunch of old guys, mm-hmm. a bunch of young guys that can soak up all those minutes and be just fine and then be healthy with their big three plus if they keep Blake. And then, yeah, I mean, I'm a believer if they're healthy, they'll be the best team. They're so good on offense. And those guys can do, I mean, Kyrie tried on defense this year. Harden, we know, is better than what he wants to be.
And they guarded in the playoffs. They guarded in the playoffs. We saw it. They played defense. They can do it. I think a key for them is going to be Reggie. I can't think of his name. Nick Claxton for sure.
For sure.
And yeah, those two guys are going to be huge for them because they're young on team-friendly deals, and we're seeing them work out. But those guys have to get minutes. Something Henry talks about in the postseason. Those guys aren't going to feel comfortable to do a big thing if they don't have all the reps doing it all season long. So to your point, coach, you got to play them. They have to just, you know, they're going to mess up and do bad because they're young. Let them mess up and go through their lumps so that come playoff time, okay, here we go. We can rely on you. You can do something here.
Yeah.
That'll be better too. I mean, I think like this is what usually happens, right? If you have, backing up, I think if you have superstars on your team, the GM's key skill becomes just finding the new players you have to add every year because you can't afford to pay to keep the same role players you have every year. It's just, I wish you could, but you just, that's where the cap goes awry, right? Like if you're paying superstars, you're just going to need to have that super skill of finding this or that role player. But if you play young players all year with superstars, like some of them emerge, right?
For
I think
sure.
This is like, this is just, it just happens, right? The Lakers will find like either Kyle Kuzma or Taylor Horn Tucker, somebody will be amazing in time, right? It's such a found object for the Nets, right? Just give, I mean, what's the number? It's probably going to be like, 10,000 minutes to young players mm-hmm. and something by the playoffs, like magic. You're going to happy.
But and there's another benefit to this. I may have told you this story. I'm sure I've told this story before when my buddy bought the Grizzlies. Helped buy the Grizzlies and was GM. And I wrote a memo like he should be sending to the team. And one of the things in the memo was, we want to be the kind of team, and I wasn't working for Memphis, this is on his behalf, where we develop our players, we're so focused on it, that when we have to trade them or let them go to another team free agency because we can't afford them anymore, we want to be bawling our eyes out, we want them to be bawling their eyes out because what we did. So think about this, to Henry's point, you get those three guys and you invest a ton of minutes and love and time with them. And then come trade deadline, some team is flopping out and they've got a really, really good player, better than our player, but our player is 22. Their player is 27 and on his last year of a deal, and our guy's got 2 or 3 years left on his deal, and we now have to trade this young player that we've developed into a legitimate talent, like a Caris LeVert kind of talent, like mm-hmm. Brooklyn did. Mm-hmm. And we're going to make the trade and be better right now to try to win with our big three. That can happen too. That's a win for them also. That's why I think it's super important that they do that. You got to get those guys to buy in, by the way.
For sure.
I understand Harden, Durant, those guys are trying to sell sneakers. And they're chasing history too.
Sure.
I don't all begrudge that. But it's fair to have the conversation of, if we want to chase that, we're putting other things at risk. So what do you want? It's fair Absolutely. To have that conversation.
And shouts to Bilal for mentioning Alzay Johnson. He's the other one. I mean, in one of my Troop Series videos, I said, Alzay had a game this year where he grabbed 25 rebounds. That could be a useful skill in the playoffs, right? Someone who can grab that many rebounds. So I think really for the Nets, what happens to Alizé Johnson, Reggie Perry, and Nick Claxton, that to me will determine so much of like how this is going to go because those guys can actually play.
And if you don't have someone needs to Terrence Mann. Someone needs to Terrence Mann up on your roster, right? And if nobody's doing that, that's on you, right? Like The Clippers didn't just have that by accident, right? Like, David knew a lot about him before it happened. Like, they traded Landry Shamet away. They gave a place and minutes and role to him. And then by the playoffs, he's winning a game for them, right? Like, you get that. You can have that. Every team can have that if you know what you're doing.
There's a lot of those guys. Nothing against Terrence Mann. There's a lot of guys that play with that kind of energy. Not always the same IQ he has, but because he was a product of a great high school coach and everything. I think his daddy was a coach. But yeah, there's a lot of guys that are in the NBA whose dad with their high school coaches. Like, there's a lot of those guys. You got to value those guys. And then you got to, like Henry said, you got to move Shamet and give him room.
Let's look at these three teams together, because I feel like they're kind of going to group together in terms of their playoff teams, but they're a move or two away. What do we see from Boston, Dallas, and Miami this offseason? I think with Miami, as I said before, winning is hard. So I'm not going to say the bubble run was a fraud. What you do and beat whoever's in front of you.
Agreed.
But Miami needs something else, right? Like, something else needs to happen there. Dallas, clearly, Luka's great. The KP thing is fine. It's not going as well as I thought it would go, but it's still early days. And then Boston, you know how I feel about Tatum and Brown. You got two young guys who are 25 or under, whatever. Like, you wing guys who can guard and create offense. I mean, what a great place to start. So what do you see from those three?
This is where Boston's got a coaching change. Dallas has a coaching change, right? So that's something we'll have to look at. Dragic probably doesn't go back to Miami. I think he's got a player option.
Yeah,
he might go back to Miami, but it'll be a different deal. Those are three teams shopping. Like, they all feel like they have to add more talent. I don't know. There's musical chairs. Someone's getting left out. I know this. Luka is as good a player at owning a series as we is maybe behind Giannis now. This Giannis, this guy we just saw, he's number one, okay, in my opinion. Because you don't have to make shots to beat you. Like, how delightful is that? You know what I mean? You don't have to make 28-footers all the time to beat you. So I think, and I'm going to throw Golden State in there, just because Steph Curry is still that magical a player. They've got some issues, don't get me wrong. They're not those other teams' level, in my opinion. But they're an interesting destination for someone. So the free agent thing coming up and the trade that we'll see starting with the draft, those are four teams I think I'm really locked in on as who gets what and jumps up more. A lot of four teams,
just a Nurkic away. That's all.
we can make the argument. We can make the argument now that the Bucks won the title last offseason when they got Drew, right? It has to play out that way.
Of course.
So who's going to win the title this summer for next year? We'll have to watch this. Those teams are on the clock for that.
There's also something to be said. You guys were talking about the lifespan of Giannis and being 26. I'm like, Luka's 22. Like, that's even younger. And the pieces that they could put around him until he gets to the Giannis age and capability, there's a lot of upside there too.
Yes. You know, this free agent class, it doesn't have the names like how free agent class.
Right. John Collins is the biggest name. If Kawhi,
and he's restricted, right? So Atlanta can still offer the most, but he's a piece. If Atlanta's ownership, and Henry, you know a lot about their funny money in Atlanta. If they don't want to spend to keep Collins because they're like, crap, we got to extend Trey. We got this. They got a lot of guys they have to pay at some point, right? Reddish, Herter, DeAndre Hunter, a lot, and they're all on the same timeline. So if they boot now on Collins, that could be somebody that, oh my God, you get John Collins. He's a four. He can shoot the three, play some defense. He can reap. I mean, that's a hell. And he's what, 23, 24? He's young. So
he got a lot better on defense over the course of his season. I give Nate a lot of, I mean, I don't know what just Nate, but John deserves the most credit. That was a problem for him. If you remember, I picked them to beat the Knicks in round one, in part mostly because DeAndre Hunter, I thought, could guard Randle. And I didn't think Collins could, because he couldn't. If you look at Julius Randle's games this season, this is going back a few months now, he destroyed the Hawks.
Yep.
Hunter played only once in those games. But Collins guarded Randle plenty in the playoffs and did really well. Really well. So, yeah, if Atlanta loses him, that's a big loss.
Huge.
You know what's occurring to me right now as I'm listening to you guys talk? Like, if you draft young, promising players who develop into max players, there's a path for you to keep them forever. But if they develop into, like, $15 million a year players, and you have lots of them, which is the Hawks are geniuses to have all those players, like, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You can't, you got to move them all, right? Like, yeah. I don't know, all of them, but like, you can keep like one.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's just, it's a weird little CBA loophole, right? Where you just, they have, because they have so, if they only had John Collins, he'd be there for life, right? But that they have all those other players too is like, so who are you saying goodbye to?
And Travis has the decision to make this summer, right?
I mean, Cam Reddish was hurt, but then he came back into the postseason and we were like, wow, this guy can shoot it. He can do that. Okay, who do I move now, right? Do I see if I can sell kind of high on, like, hey guys, this Cam Reddish guy's pretty good. He's 6'7", by the way. He's super long, and you know we love size. Well, at least I do. In this NBA, what can I get for Cam Reddish? Somebody, some picks, younger stuff? I mean, this is the game Travis has to play now, because they figure, okay, we'll keep Herter and we'll move Reddish. Or do we keep Reddish and move Herter, right? Like, these are the decisions you're making.
So how much do you sign John Collins to make the offer sheet so the Hawks won't match it?
Oh, wow. Whatever the rookie max extension is, right? So whatever you up your cap, whatever that number is.
It's going to be a big number, because I think Atlanta's going to keep their, I don't like looking at players like assets. I look at picks at assets. They're going to keep their player and then move them later. Yeah. So it's going to have to be a big, big number. I don't really know that. I'm not good at math that way for these free agent stuff. It's going to be, we'll see. And the Celtics, I like how Gerard put it. Plus, they have Marcus Smart.
Oh, yeah. He's pretty good.
Yeah. So they've got to talk about defenders. And Robert Williams showed some things.
Oh, right? Time Lord. Listen, Time Lord can play.
I forgot. Why do they call him Time Lord again? It's the greatest nickname ever behind the Iceman. But what is it for?
Because he was late to freaking, he's always late to everything. Like, they're like, no, dude, you're the practice facility is right next door. How are you late? Well, I just, you know.
Is that from some like Marvel joint? Or?
I don't even know, but I know all that. They're like, he's the Time Lord.
Star-Lord,
that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
So someone put a tweet the other day, like, list the best nickname in NBA history. And there was, you know, 8,000 people responded, so I didn't do it. To me, there's the Iceman. And then everything, because I grew up with the Iceman poster on my wall. And Moses Malone with his staff, you know, and the robe. I had that in my room. After the Iceman, I mean, I know some nicknames like from high school days, from guys that I coached, whatever. One guy, I told you, Sexy Slim. That was a great nickname. 6'6" shooter, they call him Sexy Slim. But Iceman is so good. But Time Lord, come on now. What are some of your favorite nicknames?
Sexy Slim, the ladies love that one. Well, listen, the name I love, but he won't cop to it, because I don't know why. It's great. I mean, is there not a better nickname than the Slim Reaper?
Like, oh, that's fantastic.
Fantastic.
It was a good, we made a lot of good graphics at Bleacher Report. We like Slim Reaper, we kept on.
And
that.
He hated all of them.
Well, the thing, I will say, he hated a lot of them. Well, I really hated when some people would call him a snake and they would just put him snake emojis.
Right.
And I was like, come on, person making a decision, right. Blah, blah, snake. So there was Slim Reaper and then there was Durantula.
Durantula's so good.
He's just like, call me KD. Like, he's like, I tweet, I have acne and I eat pizza. Like, that's what he said. And so he doesn't want a nickname.
Is so hilarious.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you guys about the nickname of another kid that I coached against? They called him Chicken Soup. Did I ever tell you that story?
No.
This is actually fantastic.
Is it because like he makes people sick? I don't know. I don't know.
This is the best. Picture Duncan Robinson. His name was Bob Fink. This was 1985. He played against my brother in district championships, actually. So he was there was no three-point shooting in 85, but he could shoot deep. His best player broke the SEC record for field goal percentage for the Florida Gators years later. Really super athletic. The human pogo stick, they called him. That gives you an example of how good he was, right? So, but this guy, Bob Fink, Bob was shooting, and the entire crowd would yell, chicken! And then when it went in, soup! It was so good. I mean, you know, 1,000 people, 800 people.
I love that.
Awesome.
I love that.
Oh, I did it too, and I was rooting against him.
There have been some good nicknames in the NBA. Of course, Vince is half man, half amazing. That's one of the better ones. And yes, Chris Middleton does have a nickname. He is money mid. He's money mid.
He is
money mid.
I'll take it. And that nickname thing, I had put it in the chat. It was an ESPN tweet, and I also was like, this is what happens when the NBA is over, the kind of content you
right
get
yes because we have nothing else to do.
Listen, I'm fine with it, but I had commented one nickname that always throws me, when I've met him in person is Dr. J. Like, I have such reverence for him.
That is a great one.
He was the only basketball player that I actually had on my wall and like didn't have any Backstreet Boys or bullshit like that. He was the only one. And so when I meet him, I'm like, is it doctor? Is it doc? Is it Julius? Is it Mr. That's Irving? Because I was just like, you're a grown man. And I panic. I think I called him doc.
Hey, so let's talk the LA teams.
Yeah, I want to look at the Lakers and Clippers. Look, is time passed by? Like, right? Are the Lakers too old? Well, not the Lakers. Is LeBron too old, right? And is Anthony Davis too injury prone? Is that where we are with the?
I will tell you this. I've been studying the draft now, and so as is often the case when you're watching a synergy over the course of an entire season, college announcers like to talk about the NBA, which is fine. So hearing a lot of this talk going back to November, December, January games, it's all LeBron and AD and the Lakers, right? Everyone was even in February, Lakers. LeBron's had an amazing year. I'm not ready to close the book on that yet. I mean, yeah, they were just like we predicted Brooklyn's injuries. You're not wrong, Gerard. They're not as old as some of those guys. Well, AD's not. I'm not ready to count them out yet. They got some work to do, but I still think there's a chance there.
Well, because what we see with the Lakers is we know the one thing that team can do, because they go through their offensive lulls because the roster construction isn't great, but damn, they can guard. And we like they can guard. And let's be real. That's how the Bucks won the title.
Right, I agree.
Right? They guarded. You can guard, you'll win.
Henry?
Can the Lakers get a good player? I mean, can they make a credible trade for if, you know, we've talked about some superstars who are being very choosy about where they want to play. If they want to play on the Lakers, can they put together a deal?
I mean, it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
It's a great question. It's not
you got to love KCP.
Yes, love.
Yeah. And Kuz.
Yeah.
Right? And Horton Tucker, they just qualified him, I think.
You did, yep.
Yeah. So I don't know if they can get a great player, but I don't know that you have to have a great player. I think Gerard's point on defense is so well-founded because – I do think that was ultimately what I think the Bucks flipped. It wasn't just defense, of course, because they had to get offensive rebounds, but they forced turnovers and they took away Phoenix's threes. I didn't look in game six how many threes Phoenix made. I know it was 19.
Not a lot. Six, I think.
So how many did they take, though?
They shot 23%. I know that.
They shot really bad. Yeah, well, 13 and 19 the game before. I think LA, I mean, if you got LeBron and AD, and you play defense like that, and that's what Vogel does such a good job of. I'm not sure. And with the Clippers, it's cool. Even if can Kawhi even come back if he resigns? Like, do we know when he's going to come back?
Oh, they don't know. He's not going to be ready for training camp. That's training camp, by the way, folks. Starts in 64 days, something of that nature.
September. Joe, with respect, shut up.
No, I'm on Gerard's side. You keep talking, Gerard. Keep preaching. I like when the games are happening. We should quickly mention, we don't know what Chris Paul is going to do.
Yes.
I think he's not going to be so easy to replace if you're Phoenix.
No.
And I think Denver is, like, I don't know that I'll make Denver my favorite for the West if Murray can come back fully healthy. I don't know when Murray's projected. I know he was rooting like crazy on the bench.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good sign.
None of those guys who got those ACL injuries are going to be ready for training camp.
I was cooking up a big, like, the Suns are going to, if they're going to, Chris Paul is going to get a fortune.
Yeah.
And at some point, of course, this deal, it'll be a bad value
Correct.
For his employer. And I was going to cook up early in the playoffs. I had in my head this moment, I was going to say, like, they should just roll the dice with the campaign. But then it was a little.
He was great in the end, though.
He was great then, and he was great in the beginning.
But in the middle, that's a crap sandwich is what that is. Some great bread, but...
but that's funny. But that's Drew Holiday.
Also,
I've told the story once, but I can't wait to tell it again. When Isaiah Thomas is announcing for NBC a Pistons game in that McDonald's opening Europe they used to play every summer, and whoever they're playing, Italy, France, Germany, I don't know, some European team, and they're ISO-ing Joe Dumars, and Isaiah Thomas starts laughing. And the announcer's like, what are you laughing? I said, that's Joe Dumars. These guys, do they not watch our games? Like, nobody takes that guy one-on-one, and they're ISO-ing him as if he's some kind of guy that can't guard. So that's Drew Holiday. Good luck with that. You want to try to take him one-on-one? Good luck with that. I think he's the best defensive player in the world, that is it's called normal size.
Yes.
6'4", I really think I know there's other guys that are great too, but I would rate him number one right now. When you rip CP and Booker clean, clean on the dribble, like he's guarding him and he quickly moves his feet, takes it away, and then can contest shots. Yeah, he's the best in the world.
No, he's fantastic. Look, I think, Henry, we talked about this, right? Chris is probably going to get somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 years, $100 million probably, right?
Crazy. You're right. He's going to opt out of his 44 that he's going to, he would have gotten to pick up another 100, which, look, I'm not begrudging him. Get your money.
No.
But if you're the Suns, can't you like backload that or do some kind of shady stuff? Didn't Mark Cuban do that with Nowitzki? He's probably still paying him.
All I know is that as president of the Players Association, one of the key things that Chris bargained for was special rules for very old players to get a lot more money. He's going to get that money. That's
funny. Even if they got to put it in Lil Chris name or something.
That's going to Cliff Ball.
Hey, so.
Like, do you know how many Zoom meetings he had to hold during the lockout? Like, the dude has earned this. Like,
he's getting
like,
all his money.
Like, all day Zoom. I mean, just get your money. It's fine.
If you really think hashtag Black Lives Matter, then get your money.
Two other teams I want to talk about real quickly is what do the Jazz do if they don't get Mike Conley? I mean,
is what they do. They're in trouble.
I'm of the belief that they win the championship if Donovan. There's a lot of ifs. If everyone is healthy, it's probably Brooklyn versus Utah in the finals, is what I think. I think Utah was that good. I think Brooklyn was that good. And Mike was hurt and Donovan was hurt, right? Don't forget that. Mike played one game against the Clippers with Kawhi had been out. But I don't know. I think they lose a lot if they lose him. I think he was incredible this year. And the other thing is, we saw Giannis, Ben Simmons, and I compared him in the article Henry helped me with that we published the other day. But Ben Simmons doesn't have that relentlessness, that fearlessness that Giannis has. Zion does.
He sure does.
And he's magical with the ball in his hands. Magical. And led the league, I think, in contested threes on defense. Like, he really bought into defending as good as he could. So who wants to go play with that guy?
So one of Giannis's superpowers, Coach, or his number one superpower, is his energy and effort, right? And that is his skill, with that body type. When you do that, I mean, you got nothing, right? You're going to lose. Zion, similar. But here's a problem he's had. This is now his third coach in his third year in the league. That ain't good. Like, that's not good. I don't know how he's developing. What is the game plan? First, you're doing this. Like, he's not long for New Orleans. This is what it seems like to me right now. We already heard about all the rumors, family behind the scenes. We want him out of here, blah, 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 all that. So I don't even know if he's going to be like, yeah, guys, come here. It was more just going to be like, I'm plotting my escape to get out.
So what you're saying is, I think, and I agree with you if you're saying this, there's going to be a first pick or a lottery pick that turns down that max extension.
At some point.
Fuck it, I'm out of here. I don't know who it's going to be. But I mean, you and I both think he might be the first because he's making so much money. I think, I don't know this for sure because I don't know the sneaker game. Actually, Adina, Zion Williamson, does he even have a sneaker? Like,
he
does.
Jordan Brand. He's a Jordan Brand athlete.
Yeah, Zion.
But what's he getting paid for that?
I mean, not what a rookie max extension is.
It's always the prestige of being on Team Jordan and Jordan.
Right.
Because he might be the first guy. He might be the first guy to say, I'm out of here. So we need to get to trade him because you can't lose him for nothing. So you have to trade him.
We are the New York Knicks. No, I don't want to get them too excited.
No, it only takes one game, one win for us.
All right, are we excited about the Olympics, people?
Whoa, okay. Here we go, Judy. It's time for parting shots. Let's talk about the Olympics. Y'all know, I said it on this show a million times, I am not thrilled about the NBA players being over there for a couple of reasons. One, Tokyo looks like a disaster area, state of emergency, no fans. There's that piece. Second, these guys are old and need rest. Like Booker and Middleton and Drew finished playing the NBA finals. It took a 26-hour flight. Now they're going to go play international basketball for 3 weeks. Sounds like a bad idea to me, right? Like, I just don't love that they're all over there. And as I said, training camp starts in 60 days. Not great. But there is some funny stuff coming out of the Olympics. Judy, play that first video.
This is funny. This is
Durant, little shooter. I made a shot. And somebody took his ball.
Bam took his ball. Then you're back to him.
But he is not happy about it.
At first.
Now, look at Katie's reactions here in conversation.
Katie's like, I made that shot. Where's my change?
I made it with that one. That was a big ball, bro.
The girl ball.
Well, it's not.
The big ball tells him guys.
Can Bam say it doesn't count because it was a girl ball?
It's a girl ball, bro. Swing that. No, stop lying on fucking time, bro. I made that though, my dude.
You ain't got to snatch the ball.
No, for real, though. I'm about
to that, that's the Johnson kid from the Spurs. Kelvin Johnson. He's just happy to be there.
So here's what I love about this. This is, first of all, this is like summer camp, right? This is what it is for these guys, summer camp. And you know how it is when you play games at summer camp. There's always that kid who, listen, everything is serious. Katie's like, no, I made it with that ball. Give me my ball. No, I made that. That's a girl ball, man. Swing that. Give me that other one. It's just hilarious. And then they went back and forth, him and Bam on Twitter. So Kevin goes, dogs, see me knock down the corner three and proceeds to work on his ball handling with the ball. I green bean. Bro got to learn some respect at Bam 101. And then Bam quotes me, stop lying, Katie Trey. You saw Dame take your rock. You just tried to little bro me with a middle finger. Like, I love it.
But read what Durant wrote.
No, I did. I read that first.
What is green bean?
He made the shot.
I've never heard that before.
No, but I've never heard that.
KD's got his own weirdo DMV basketball lingo.
I'm all for it.
This is Hooper versus Baller attitude, which correct. I fucking hate on the internet. Like,
which, by the way, Hoopers this, want their this rebound. Is what I love, though, about the Olympics, Coach, is watching these guys engage and interact in this manner. Kids just having fun playing ball. So this part, all right, I like it. It's fun. I still hate that they're over there. Okay, there's more. Judy, show the video of Team USA getting ready for.
It's the best.
Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird.
Because they couldn't, the U.S. women's soccer team couldn't participate. They couldn't participate in the opening ceremony because they played.
Yeah. Oh, they had a game?
So Megan Rapinoe's dressed up like she's Sue Bird because, you know, they're not going to know. Whatever, who cares?
Meanwhile, isn't Sue Bird a flag? Was she a flag bearer, right?
She, yeah, yep. She and then Judy played the last one. So this is right before opening ceremonies, which happened just a few hours ago.
Yeah.
This is not just Team USA basketball. These are all the USA athletes.
Happy birthday to you.
Look at his face.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Kevin.
So mad.
Katie is gonna murder someone.
I love it. Of course, as you know, it is not Kevin Durant's birthday. His birthday is not until September. And they're like, all right, let's play a joke on him. You know, you do that when you go to summer camp. There's this early kid. You're like, all right, let's go tease him and do the thing. Well, they're doing the thing. And now he's like, I'm going to kill all of you in your sleep now because you did this to me.
You're saying someone's going to short sheet his bed?
Probably. I'm sure that will.
The cardboard bed like, that they're sleeping on?
He's like the angry grandfather.
Well, it's like also too, like, I think Kevin's also a troll, and he plays, he knows, okay, this is my persona. So, all right, yeah. I'm going to do this now.
I agree.
Guys, stop singing happy birthday to me. I hate it. But secretly, I probably like it.
I agree. All right, real quick, my last comment is the NBA draft, I think, is next week. And I've been diving in. Interesting, some interesting players, some players I'm not so interested in.
How does my guy Jalen Suggs look? That's all I want to know.
Oh, good. Yeah, I think he's got a lot of Holiday Kyle Lowry in him. Yeah,
ooh,
that's good. Yeah,
that's like
just,
that.
I have no idea if someone else written that. I'm just telling you what I saw. And I like Evan Mobley a lot.
Yeah.
Big surprise. I like really athletic, tall, big dude, right? He's a talented guy. Very talented guy.
I'm going to call this now. Whoever steals Evan Mobley in the draft, watch out. That's a win right there. Championship
I kind of like
coming.
Him number one. Yeah, I like him.
I like him a lot.
But I'm not sure. I think probably Kate goes number one.
Well, folks, this has been another fantastic episode of Bring It In Fridays with me.
Quick little shout out to we're at Judy's house. We're at Judy's house all
that's
in person.
My hand. That's my
because
hand.
Judy basically was like, I'm making a huge meal.
Yes.
Like, and we're about to eat. Like, I hadn't had breakfast today just as a planning move. Like, thank you, Judy, for making this happen. This is so great to see everybody.
Well, Judy, actually, thank you for because remember, you came back from vacation and I said, you know, I'm so happy you're back because you can run this because I was terrible at it. Two, it's hot out. We need to go swimming. I have a pool, Jura. Oh, do you?
Ask and thou shalt receive.
So happy to see you guys. This is
have a good weekend, everybody. Be safe.